Amanda Brock, CEO of Open UK, the not-for-profit organization representing the UK's open technology sector, started her career in the legal sector, and when she did move across to the IT industry discovered a more enlightened approach to diversity, equality and inclusion, but one that still had a way to go. In this interview, she shares some brilliant insights and observations as to the attitudes she has encountered in her career and how she is optimistic as to the future.
Okay, so obvious place to start would be, have you always wanted to work in the IT space? And depending, I suppose, on that answer is how did you arrive there?
Absolutely not. In high school, I was told to stay away from computers. They tried to teach me to code and my code never ran, not once in the year or so they tried to teach me. Funnily enough, the school teacher who said that to me, I've spoken to him since and he's apologized. They actually run Ubuntu. And my introduction to open source was as the general counsel of Ubuntu in 2008. What I actually wanted to be was an entertainment lawyer, which sounded like a lot of fun at the time, but there we go. I'm an IT lawyer. I guess I stumbled into it in more ways than one. I stumbled into it in my first job, proper job after I qualified as a solicitor in England. I worked for a lady, quite unusual at the time. I've worked for a number of women over the years, which is also quite unusual. But Sue, who was the partner in the law firm that I reported to, was the person who convinced me I was going to be an IT lawyer, not an IP or an entertainment lawyer. And she also paid for me to do a master's degree. And I did a master's part-time while I was working at Queen Mary in Westfield at the Centre for Commercial Law Studies, which is still, you know, it's a good centre. It's run by a chap now called Ian Walden, who does quite a lot of work with us. And Ian originally taught me in 95, 96 internet law. And it was the first internet law course in the country. And that led to me going on to work in a .com in-house, and then over the years in a number of in-house jobs, which involved different aspects of the tech sector.
Okay, and in terms of the that career path to date, in terms of the challenges you might have encountered, would you characterize most of those as just being normal, inverted commas, career challenges, or were you aware that at various stages, the fact that you were a woman, I mean, it's perhaps slightly different because you say you're in a, you know, come from a legal background. The IT industry is notorious for being male dominated. I don't know if the legal profession is slightly more balanced or was, but just your thoughts as to challenges you faced and whether that was because you were a woman or just because, you know, you were wanting to get on in your career.
Yeah, I think there's two levels to that. And the first is that law has a reputation of being incredibly sexist and being the last to change, which always surprises people who are not from that space. An awful lot of women start out in law and very few stay the course. And I did 25 years, which is a lot longer than most do. And I guess I was for 10 to 15 of those, the head lawyer, head of legal, general counsel. In some very big companies, I had like a AGC type roles where you run a team or an area. So that was relatively unusual for a woman to get to that level. You know, not unheard of, but relatively unusual. And it was very male dominated, but also my specialism was first of all in the dot-coms and e-business and then open source. So, you know, I've worked in telcos, data center companies, all sorts of different industry companies across tech. And I don't think tech has ever been as sexist as law was. And yes, I probably didn't realize, in fact, I know I didn't realize at the time that the barriers I was facing were partly because of my gender, I think partly because I'm neurodiverse. But until somebody points out to you what it is, you don't know what it is. You know, most people internalize, particularly women, you internalize and you think it's something to do with you, that you have whatever concern or issue, or you're not achieving what you should. I didn't know how much less than my male colleagues. I was being paid through the 90s, the noughties, the teens until not so long ago, and it doesn't exactly make me happy.
So I won't say you arrived in the IT industry as a, you know, and think, wow, this is a breath of fresh air, but you're perhaps one of the more unusual folks I've interviewed in that most people just say IT industry, very male dominated, they found it difficult. But you actually found that it was less of a problem moving from the legal sector across to IT. You found it actually more diverse.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple of things. And one is that the IT sector tends to be very male dominated, not because it's inherently sexist, although there is a level of that. There is, you know, in any structure that is primarily not people like you, right? However, intellect has always been the currency that I've encountered in IT. If you could hold your own intellectually, if you had a value and a worth and you were adding to a team, my experience was that IT wasn't particularly sexist. What I would say is there's a lack of women as opposed to sexism, and it's not sexism that stops that. It's the natural reaction for many people when they walk into a space where nobody looks like them. They don't feel comfortable there. I'm so used to it after 30 years that I don't really think about it, or I didn't really think about it, I suppose. You know, I've become more conscious of it because it's been talked about more. I recently went to a conference where I was one of the speakers, and I went into a room in advance and it was all male and nobody spoke to me. Now, that would have bothered some people. I just got myself organized, you know, got on with what I had to do, spoke. And then after I'd spoken, there was a queue of people waiting to speak to me. And it's not, I think sometimes it's just awkwardness and, you know, having allies and men who are good at creating that warmth when there aren't women around, or, you know, feel comfortable with going up and speaking to women they don't know, makes a difference. But I've never encountered outright sexism, I don't think. I can't think of an instance of it in the IT sector. It's just the scale. And I think that the sexism possibly has come more from educational choices and skills that young women have developed, where women like me were encouraged not to be in tech because it, you know, it wasn't something that you were naturally good at, or it wasn't something that you would want to do. And definitely I was encouraged away from sciences full stop, although I was good at science, and more into the arts, and pretty much because I could speak.
Have you, I mean, the experience you gave about that conference suggests maybe not, but I'm hoping most of the people I've talked to have suggested or acknowledged that there has been a gradual improvement. Did you notice that in the legal profession before you left, but also in the IT space as well? Just thoughts on that.
No, the legal profession hadn't shifted particularly when I left. It was getting better, but it hadn't particularly shifted. The IT sector, I think, has done a brilliant job. It has a long way to go, but it has consciously made the effort. It has consciously tried to create diversity and to be inclusive. And I think that's really important, because once the awareness of the importance of that diversity is sort of embedded in something, then it changes, then it shifts. And I don't know how much you know about Open UK, but we have about double the level of women you would normally see in open source. You know, open source is still one of those areas that doesn't have a lot of women. And we have 30% plus of our organization that's female, which is double what you'd expect. 17% is the Linux Foundation's most recent numbers. But then when we look at the conference we put on in January, quite intentionally, we had a DEI requisite for our speakers. So our speakers were 44% who identified as women or non-binary. And that really makes a difference, right? Because when you walk into a room and it's got people like you in it, you feel more comfortable. And I think that really opened it up. So our delegates were also about a third to 40% women, and our ethnicity sat at 49.3%, almost 50-50, white to non-white. And I think in tech, that's probably unheard of. And I think there are ways to build a more inclusive culture that we're just learning. But if you really, instead of having, we didn't have a diversity track or a room or anything like that. Everything we did had diversity and sustainability as a consideration.
And do you think that the improvements will only come through, shall we say, deliberate actions, choices, whether it's to have quotas, whether you call it positive discrimination, or at least trying to increase the diversity? Or do you think it is possible that as long as people are aware of those issues, that they can move towards those targets in a more passive way?
So you've used a couple of words there that I don't like. So positive discrimination and quotas, I don't agree with, and I've never agreed with. And it really used to irk me when I was working my way through as a lawyer, because I'd worked so hard to achieve what I'd achieved, that I didn't want people being able to take it away from me by saying that I was only getting that because I was a woman, because I certainly wasn't. In fact, it was the opposite. You know, I was getting it despite being a woman. I think it's shifted, and I don't think we're looking at quotas. I don't think we're looking at positive discrimination or other things that I would put in a negative bucket. What I think we're looking at now is a considered approach and some level of discernment in our decisions. And that discernment for us, we put 10% of the scorecard for the assessment of talks under DEI. Now, it didn't mean you had to be a woman. It didn't, you know, it just meant that you had to acknowledge the need for diversity somewhere in what you were talking about. And if the person who'd submitted didn't score high on that, we encouraged everybody to include something in the actual talk. And what it meant, I think, was we had a more inclusive environment. And we had an environment that understands, the people who engaged in it understand the need for us to have more equity and to have more diversity in our space.
And I'm just wondering, for example, you know, when it comes to, say, trying to fill a new position in a company, and maybe the application list is, it being in the IT sector, heavily male dominated, if that was an issue you faced, would you sort of worry that that's the fault of the company? Would you think, okay, how can we address it? How can we increase diversity? Yeah. When that may just be a default still, that, you know, if you've got 100 applicants, 8 of them will be male. Is there a way of
I think that's changing, and I know I'm not good at stats off the top of my head, but I know that there are stats that show how many more young women have gone into computer science in universities. And I think now, you know, the increase in women going in is in the tens of percentages in the last couple of years. So I think we're seeing more young women coming into it. And remember that the roles are broader. The tech sector now is something different to what it used to be. It's not just about building software and throwing it out into the world through a proprietary contract. You're now looking at ecosystem building, you're looking at community building, you're looking at commercialization, marketing, and there's all these sophisticated teams who also have to understand tech. And I think the value of the non-engineer, the non-coder, is also much greater than it used to be and much more respected. And I think you see at the moment more women in those kind of roles. Various initiatives like the Cloud Native Compute Foundation have really shifted things, and they purposely went about diversity. So when I look at the makeup of Open UK, we have a huge number of women engineers. You know, and they're really well-known, really good engineers. And they have come in most cases through that Kubernetes Cloud Native school. And it really is having an impact. And I think that the fact that you see more people like you who are in senior roles encourages you in. It makes it achievable. You know, a female CEO of an organization, all the other open source organizations across Europe are run by men. You know, there isn't a country organization that's run by a woman. And I think that makes a difference. I think it makes it more comfortable for women to come into the space. I know every time I speak, I end up with a bunch of people who are from various ethnic backgrounds and women who want to come and talk to me because they don't see enough women speaking.
And in terms of being a role model, is that something that you've, shall we say, actively sought, or you're happy to be that? What, just your thoughts as to, you know, the responsibility you have in the position you are to you know, increase diversity within in the industry?
Yeah, it's definitely not something I sought. I don't know if I'm happy to have it, but I certainly feel the weight of it. So it sort of goes with the territory in the job, and I don't know if I fully understood that when I took the job on, but I do take it very seriously. And you can only try. None of us are perfect, so none of us get it right all the time. But, you know, I do try in order to help young women in particular coming through to see that it's possible.
And in terms of whether it's within Open UK or the industry more broadly, are there some good initiatives that you feel you can tap into to give, to feel that you've got some support and amongst other folks in the diversity sort of program, or do you still feel perhaps slightly isolated because there isn't enough of this activity being coordinated? Yeah.
No, I think there's a lot actually. I don't feel that. I feel generally, I mentioned the conference to you before because it's very much an exception, but it reminds me of how many people feel when they go to these things. And to some extent, when you're very involved in something, you don't always see the clear picture. And that always is a worry. I feel very supported, and I have a number of allies as well as female colleagues. One of the things that I have found through my career, I've worked for three very senior women at different points in time, and that is quite unusual in a 30-year career. I guess I've spent about 9 years, 10 years working for women, so about a third of the time. And it used to really annoy me when people would say to me, "Oh, how is that? It must be awful, must be difficult," as if there would be a problem with two women working together, which there never was with the, one of them was particularly tough, but there was never a problem. She'd had to be like that in her role. I think that I have a real privilege of being surrounded by so many great women in the space that I'm in. And I don't feel that anybody is put in a position that in any way equates to a quota or positive discrimination. When I look at the, we had hosts in the seven tracks in our conference, and I think five of them were women. There was one man and one non-binary person. And every one of them was a deep subject matter expert. And every one of them was more than capable if there was a gap in the program to fill the space, if there was questioning needed, because there was time for questions and there were no audience questions, to come up with questions. And I don't think there is anything wrong with tipping the balance to create the atmosphere and create the it's almost to create the doorway. So what do I mean by that? I frequently tell people that the issue isn't so much once you're through the door, right? Once you're into particularly open source, it's really warm and welcoming. Any issues that there used to be around people being a little bit harsh have all been knocked away. The rough corners have been knocked off through codes of conduct, codes of respect. And I think we have a really lovely sector these days. Not that we don't have disagreements and fallouts and the odd thing that goes wrong, nothing's perfect, but it is a really lovely space to work in. And once you get through the door, you find that the problem is getting through the door. And to get through the door, you have to know what it looks like and how to open it and how to step through. And that's the piece that I think we really have to help people with, to really signpost, here is a door for you to step through. And then if they're nervous about it, to give them a little push.
And to that point, is it, in your experience, do you think for most people, if they're looking either to join the industry or move within it, when they look at a company, whether it's through their website or any other sort of information they can take, is it now fairly obvious what kind of organization, whether they are diverse and open, or is it not that easy until you get maybe to an interview stage when you're able to find out a bit more of how easy, I guess, is it to identify that
Interesting.
opportunity?
I've not looked for a job in quite a long time, so I'm not so sure. I think most organizations try to be quite transparent in who they are and who they're made up of. Actually, particularly the ones you'd want to work for, promote the fact that they have a diverse leadership, and you can see that. I think it would be unusual now to see a board or to see an executive team that didn't have a fair smattering of women across tech. I think that particularly, I actually think we're quite ahead because a lot of it has been driven out of the US, and the standards that the US has been held to have been faster and higher than they have in the UK. And I think that for many of us here, we've adopted those in tech before perhaps the mass of the population, which is possibly why, for me, coming from law, I didn't think the tech sector was so bad.
And in terms of the role models, perhaps at a more wider level, I'm thinking we still tend to, if there's an IT story covered on the news, it's and it's nobody's fault, but it often just happens to be that the CEO or whatever is a male of a lot of these big IT companies. Does that still worry you slightly that, again, perhaps from the education point of view, people are seeing it's confirming to them that, oh, the IT industry is for males because there they are all on the telly talking about stuff or whatever. Does that still worry you that people haven't perhaps broken that glass ceiling to be running huge, great multinational IT companies?
There are some women, and there are more women than you might expect. I increasingly see female CEOs of large companies. Again, I think America is ahead of the UK on that. It would be nice to see more. I'm more concerned probably about female founders. And you see, I was in the States 2 weeks ago in the Bay Area, and I was talking to a conference of about 300, 350 people with very, very few women in the room. And a third of the room were funders and the other two thirds were founders. And that's why there are very few women in the room, because women tend not to found. They tend not to take the risk of being a founder. I mean, we have some within Open UK. Paula Kennedy and, you know, Liz Rice immediately come to mind, but it is less common, and encouraging women to feel that they can take that risk and to be in a situation where they can take that risk, I think matters.
So in terms of what the future might look like, what type of things do you think need to be done, or would you like to see done to continue to improve the scenario, because although things have clearly got a lot better, they're still are far from perfect. So what kind of activities do you think could improve the situation?
Yeah, I think that shift from diversity being a sort of side topic and something we need to do, I mean, to be quite honest with you, a lot of women are tired of being asked to sit on diversity panels. You know, don't ask them to sit in a diversity panel. Ask them to sit in a panel as a subject matter expert, give them a talk, give them a keynote, get them involved in projects within your business that aren't about DEI. I think there's a definite shift going on at the moment where people want to be recognized for their skills and not for the gender. And, you know, the transition to having a more diverse tech sector has involved a lot of focus on diversity. The focus should still be there at a management level, but the act of implementation should be different. And it shouldn't be about hosting, you know, women lunches or taking a box saying we're doing the DEI policy or having an International Women's Day event. The focus should be on constantly considering DEI being met, constantly thinking about the diversity and recognizing that diversity isn't just about gender. You know, we've talked mostly in this interview about women. A lot of diversity is unseen. One of the questions that we put in our survey, we have a survey each year, it's just about to come out. And I have this battle every year where I want to ask where people were born. And it's not because we're racist, but a huge number of people working in tech in the UK have come here because it's a tech hub. And you can't identify that and you can't see that diversity without asking that question. And it's the same way as, you know, asking your gender used to be something that people didn't want to do. But I think there's a broader diversity. You know, we have neurodiversity. There was this panorama program last night about people being falsely diagnosed with ADHD through, you know, charlatan Harley Street practitioners. All of those things need to be addressed, all those hidden diversity elements as well. And I think it's something, you know, we're seeing neurodiverse people actively being recruited for their skills within the tech sector and the extra talents that they bring. I think we need to have a broader view of what diversity is and remember that, and that a lot of it is unseen.
And in terms of embracing that diversity, it, as far as I'm aware, most of the surveys that look at it suggest that a truly diverse workforce, the benefits are enormous, because clearly the diverse workforce therefore then understands the diversity of the customer base, etc. So are you perhaps, put it the other, are you surprised that there isn't, you know, more embracing of this or quicker embracing for all the benefits it brings, and that some people seem to perhaps slightly drag their heels or at least don't recognize the opportunities it brings and think it's more of a, you know, a hassle to introduce than looking at it from a positive point of view?
I don't know that that's really the case anymore. I think the shift has happened and I think it is pretty much introduced. You know, these things, change takes time. It can't take forever, that's not acceptable, but it does take time, and it takes a mind shift. It takes, you know, true change requires commitment. It's not something that you tick a box and apply for 3 years and then stop doing. It takes a lifetime, and it takes that continuous commitment to it. And I think that's something that will have a long-term payoff, but it just will be something that we will see improve and improve and improve, so long as the commitment stays and making sure that it's in everybody's best interest for the commitment to stay. I don't think it's enough just to say that it creates better products, but it's definitely the case that your end users are diverse and you ought to reflect, you know, who you're delivering to the extent that that's possible. Yeah.
Maybe just as we finish, in terms of anyone who might be, whether they're in the education system and considering career, or like yourself, maybe in industry A and looking at maybe moving across into the IT, would you unreservedly recommend a career, or are there any notes of caution you'd sound, or you'd just say, no, go for it. It's a phenomenal industry to be in.
I would unreservedly recommend a career in tech, because it opens up a world and opportunities on a global basis that I don't think any other sector will give you. The tech sector is just so global, particularly the open source end of it, that you have the opportunity to engage. You know, in the last, this is unusual, and I've been trying to do it in a sustainable way. So I've been going off and going from country to country rather than back and forth. But in the last month, I mean, I've been in Prague, I've been in Amsterdam, I've been in Geneva, San Francisco, and Vancouver, right? I would never have that opportunity. And it is an opportunity, because not only have I been in these interesting countries, I've been able to meet with these people from all different cultures and all different spaces, and really to learn from them. Sitting in San Francisco, I realized for our next report, our Open UK, that we need to shift where we were going and do something totally different. And that kind of opportunity, I just don't believe you'd get anywhere else. Something I will say is that whatever you're going to do, it takes hard work. And there is that level of caution. And sometimes young people, and I'm sure I was exactly the same, in fact, I know I was exactly the same, want to run before they can walk. And there is definitely a lot of work to be done. There are years and years of commitment and discipline to get you to a stage of any level of seniority. And if you go through that and you're willing to apply yourself and put the hard work in, I don't think there's any reason that any diversity, any form of diversity anymore, will hold you back in the tech sector. If you've got the brain and if you're willing to apply yourself, you know, the door is open to you.
Okay, that's fantastic. It's been really enjoyable to chat to you, and you shared some brilliant insights. So Amanda, really appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Phil.